Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. How did I
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Will.
I am Brian.
This is a podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons & Dragons, from artistic axes to abyssal atrocities. And today we're covering both the Assassin and the Arcane Trickster.
Prepare yourselves.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Will.
It's time to build some characters today.
It's time to build that ass assassin.
I built an arcane trickster, but we will start with the assassin.
Okay.
But before we do that, I have a little paragraph about the rogue in general, and then we'll dive straight into the assassin. So,
Quick plug to us, yeah? We're going to be releasing, we're releasing D&D 5 episodes again.
Yeah, D&D Explained in 5 minutes.
D&D Explained in 5 minutes, and the rogue one is either out or about to come out.
So this is true.
Go check
this
it out.
This is true, yeah.
Tell your friends.
So the rogue has always been an interesting concept to me. It isn't a class that I'm like personally drawn to, mm-hmm. but what I find so interesting about it is how diverse the very concept of the rogue is. There are many types of characters that fall under the rogue umbrella that in reality are not very closely related when you think about it for a minute, or at least they don't seem to be until right. you think about it for a minute, really.
Yes.
While the fighter fights, the cleric is pious, and the wizard is an arcane expert, the rogue does a lot of different things in a lot of different ways. Sometimes they are specialists, and sometimes there's jacks of all trades. Rogues can be expert dealers of death or thieves of exceptional prowess. They can be range snipers, stealthy scouts, brutish strong arms, or criminal masterminds. I think the only through thread linking all these concepts together is that perhaps more so than any class, what defines the rogue is the eclecticness of their skills and the ability to use indirect strategy to be effective on the battlefield.
Yes.
And today we're diving into the assassin and the arcane trickster.
The ability to kick ass alone. The more I look at the rogue and play it, because now I'm playing a rogue, there is nothing in D&D quite like this in terms of being a player.
Right.
That I've found so far.
Right.
Just crushing the skills the way they do.
Yeah, they do.
My God, it's like I don't need to worry about pass or fail. I'm going to pass almost like 90% of the time.
Right.
If I just stay if I lean into what I know I'm good at. Mm-hmm. And the role play should guide you to do exactly that. So you should almost be successful at what you're supposed to be doing there all the time.
Yeah. The way I look at it too, or like, and the way they designed it is if you look at the four cornerstone classes of the rogue, the fighter, the cleric, and the wizard, it's like each one has a specialization and all four together have a complete party. So the fighter is a fighter. They're the best at combat. They're the tank, the frontliner. The rogue has all the skills covered. The wizard has all the magic lore and magic damage and elemental stuff covered.
Yeah,
and
like another set of skills, separate from what the rogue kind of deals with.
Yeah. And then the cleric has all the healing and stuff. So it's like together they're a fully functioning party. But
it's that classic shit.
Yeah.
It is cool being able to just stealth when you want, not worry about it.
So the assassin, let's get into it. So assassin, you focus your training on the grim art of death. Those who adhere to this archetype are diverse, hired killers, spies, bounty hunters, and even specially anointed priests trained to exterminate the enemies of their deity. That's one that's I've always found fun, is this idea of like the holy zealot assassin.
Yeah, I didn't really consider that.
In 4th edition, they had a class that was dedicated to that called the Avenger. I fucking love that class.
That's like a holy man needs somebody dead.
Yeah.
And like, who are they going to bring in to do it?
Yeah. The holy assassin.
Yep.
Stealth, poison, and disguise help you eliminate your foes with deadly efficiency. So when you choose this archetype at 3rd level, you gain proficiency in the disguise kit and the poisoner's kit.
Yes.
So ways to disguise yourself and kill people.
Yeah. I'm picturing like what is the poisoner's kit? Is it like a blow dart? Like,
I'm sure it's got blow darts.
Concoct the poison and ways to administer it.
You can put it on your blade. You can pour it into someone's drink. All that other stuff.
You could like make a little tablet, like a drug dealer, and like slip it into someone's food or something like that. Dissolve some powder into a drink. Exactly. Okay. I'm starting to see it.
All right.
I read that when I built mine. I was like, you know, I don't really exactly know what's in here.
Like, you could have just Googled what was in it.
Yeah, I guess I could have. I didn't think about it. I'm not. Yeah.
So the first feature you get at level 3 is called Assassinate. You are at your deadliest when you get the drop on your enemies. You have an advantage on attack rolls against any creature that hasn't taken a turn in the combat yet. Mm-hmm. In addition, any hit you score against a creature that is surprised is a critical hit.
Right.
So you hit hard, you hit first.
Super powerful. Yeah.
Really want to pump that initiative if you can.
Like your dex, right? Like,
yeah, your dex.
And you're going to, most likely.
Also, I mean, you could get the alert feat, which bumps your initiative even higher.
Yeah, plus 5.
I definitely would, yeah.
Yeah.
So...
that's not bad.
No, not at all.
I don't really like to choose feats because I feel like feats in a way could like carry too much conversation.
Yeah, sure. Did I do feats with her? I think I did quite a few feats with her. I can't remember.
See, if you're going for something specific, the feat is the way to go.
Yeah, for me, it's like showing. For me, the idea behind the series for me is like building characters in a creative way to show that like there's more than you can do when you initially think about a class.
Yes.
You can do more with it.
Yes.
I'll have to go through this because I built this character a while back and I didn't end up taking any feats at all because I'm not seeing anything. Sorry for the interruption of our thing right now. Oh yeah, I got 2 feats. We'll get into that later.
All right.
So the next feature you get is called Infiltration Expertise, starting at 9th level. You can unfailingly create false identities for yourself. This is fun.
Yeah.
You must spend 7 days and 25 gold pieces to establish the history, profession, and affiliations for an identity. You can't establish an identity that belongs to someone else. I think that's bullshit. I think you should be able to do that. It's just you could super get caught at it.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's bad news if there's 2 motherfuckers walking around. Exactly. One of them's kind of weird. Yeah.
For example, you might acquire appropriate clothing, letters of introduction, and official looking certification to establish yourself as a member of a trading house from a remote city so you can insinuate yourself into the company of other wealthy merchants. Thereafter, if you adopt a new identity as a disguise, other creatures believe you to be that person until given an obvious reason not to be.
Yes. So the
ultimate spy.
Somebody, like, basically your enemy in these scenarios is, like, the very clever NPC that sees through your bullshit, right? Like,
right, yeah.
And because of, like, something minor you did.
Yeah.
I think we had a Super Quest Saga moment like that where my character is trying to infiltrate,
doesn't know
something everybody knows.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that was like, a giveaway. Yeah, that was fucking hilarious.
So you got to watch out for that sort of thing. If you're doing this, do your research.
Yeah, it's true. At level 13, you get a feature called Imposter. You gain the ability to unerringly mimic another person's speech, writing, and behavior. You must spend at least 3 hours studying these 3 components of the person's behavior: listening to speech, examining handwriting, and observing mannerisms. Your ruse is indiscernible to the casual observer. If a wary creature suspects something is amiss, you have advantage on your deception check to make that you make to avoid detection.
That's cool.
So, like, you just straight become another person at this point.
Cover your bases. Crazy. And if you're getting expertise as you go on with the rogue. So if deception is something you're probably going to want to take expertise in.
Very good at,
if you're leaning into this aspect of being an assassin.
Right. So finally, at level 17, you get your final feature called Death Strike. You become a master of instant death. When you attack and hit a creature that is surprised, it must make a Constitution saving throw, DC 8 plus your dexterity mod plus your proficiency bonus. On a failed save, double the damage of your attack against this creature.
Damn.
So you just deal death.
I like it. I like it a lot.
People let you get too close and you fucking kill them.
I think we're taking for granted a little bit. Like expertise, you know, for a newer player, you're going to basically choose a skill. You're going to get your proficiency bonus 2 times on it.
Yeah. And if you watch our original Rogues episode, we cover that.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Or... the D&D Explained in 5 Minutes, right?
Yes, it's thoroughly covered there.
Yeah.
So what was that, level 13?
That was level 17.
That was the final one.
So
cool.
Any questions or comments about the assassin? Oh shit, before we get into your assassin.
No, I'm ready to talk about it.
All right. Tell me about the assassin that you built. Like race, name, class, we know the class. Tell me about her. Him. Her.
Okay.
It. I don't know.
It's going to get a little convoluted for a second, but hopefully it all comes together. All
right, let's do it.
I chose a Kenku.
Okay, cool.
My Kenku is a copy of a character that I have lore for.
Oh.
Because of the Kenku, the way the Kenku works, is they are only able to mimic. They can't be creative and come up with original sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's a little strange kind of operating in that. But I will call, my Kenku was originally called 108. Oh. And 108 is a manufactured, it is a, not manufactured being, but manufactured to be. 108 was sold to a man named Carver Terrace, looking to create a copy of himself to help him assassinate.
Okay, so all right.
108 is a clone of a master assassin.
Okay, so named, this clone was a Kenku.
This clone is still a Kenku, but has imitated.
No. The original, not the clone, was also a Kenku.
No. The original was a human man. Sorry.
Okay, so how is this a clone?
It is a copy of certain aspects of this person.
Okay.
It imitates. So my I should explain the human guy first.
Yeah. Let's.
The human man is named Carver Terrace. Uh-huh. He grew up in a small town at the foot of mountains owned by dwarves. Shout out to Year of the Giant. Where the dwarves had issues with a fire giant that came in and took annexed territory. Dwarves go to war with the giant. The mountains have a canyon that leads to his town. The canyon is a merchant trade route. It has seen infestations of goblins and kobolds that the dwarves would normally mitigate, but are no longer focusing on because of this war. They go to, the dwarves send emissaries to his town, and it's at the foot of the mountains, to recruit for war. He is part of like a town guard that is growing. Mm-hmm. This government is growing and strengthening because of dwarven intervention and the things going on around him. And he finds that he's very skilled in espionage.
Okay.
And becomes a captain of the town military, and okay, goes on espionage missions, and for like, whether it's killing or interception data, you know, whatever they need him for.
Yeah.
This is the guy they're calling to slip in and out. He builds, there's a system set up in the town to interview people, travelers, wanderers that are coming through. They're offered free room, board, drink, and food. Mm-hmm. At the local tavern, it's kind of co-run by the town military and the dwarves to have people try out. And he basically makes teams of people to go on espionage missions with him, okay, as distractions. So okay, he sends teams to distract while he goes and slips behind. So basically, okay, he's looking for mercenary brutes like barbarians, okay, and fighters to, sure, kind of stand up at the front, uh-huh, while he slips in the back and gets whatever and he needs.
Cool.
But
cool,
eventually, cool, it leads him to evil. Uh-huh. He takes matters into his own hands, and he wants to break free and kind of do his own thing.
All right.
And to do this, he's going to need followers that will follow him to the letter.
Okay.
And he needs them to be incredibly skilled and do what he does.
Yeah, sure.
So by the time...
He's training a Kenku army.
He's training Kenkus to operate in the shadows. So my character is 108, who, uh-huh, is a somewhat clone of Carver, okay, Terrace.
Because yeah.
The sort of like the facade here, this Kenku like doesn't have a lot of autonomy in its own way.
Sure.
It has basically taken on the persona of Carver Terrace.
Gotcha.
Carver Terrace dies, okay, at some point, and now we're left with 108, who's, mm-hmm, kind of just become a contract worker.
Mm-hmm.
So 108 goes by the name Carver Terrace,
oh,
but it's clear that
it
is not.
Because this is a birdman.
It is a birdman.
Yeah.
But the people, so thieves kind of have, like, they have thieves cant. There's, like, this kind of underlying thing with rogues where your background might help you know, like, I took the criminal background or spy background, and, mm-hmm, you know, like, points of contact.
Yeah.
But these points of contact are actually Carver's points of contact.
Oh, okay.
Where, like, so it's when they need something. Basically, this Kenku is so fucking skilled, like the way Carver was, that people are going to contract work out to it anyway.
Thinking it's Carver?
It's Carver. Okay. It's the NPC interaction I kind of imagine is like, man, dealing with you is strange because you remind me so much of him. And the way you talk, you imitate his speech.
Yeah.
Basically, I built a level 10 character, but I'm getting that level 13 ability and I have it from the get.
Yeah.
I'm like able to imitate to the T.
He's a Kenku. Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm bypassing some levels here for, gotcha, that ability.
Sure.
But that's basically my Birdman wears a robe. I usually have my Kenku's like cloaked in either red or black with, mm-hmm, trim of the opposite.
Yeah.
Depending on the scenario. But this Birdman just like lives alone pretty much as like a hand for hire and just survives. Kenku don't live very long.
Oh.
So it's at that, like, this point in this character's arc, it is just kind of on its own.
Right. Gotcha.
Operating kind of weird. It might have, if Carver, the original Carver, fell to a specific person for whatever reason, mm-hmm. it might have a grudge because it probably came to be like family with that person.
Gotcha.
Because of the closeness. And 108 isn't the only copy of Carver Terrace wandering around.
There's another 107.
There's no, like, basically, this Kenku person was sold to Carver Terrace from a company like making, like breeding Kenku to do these types of things. Yeah. Like, they've been subjugated to do bad things.
They're a product now.
Yeah, they're being sold. And like, if you want to copy a great fighter that you have, this I have a product for you.
Yeah, I could see that. That's a pretty cool idea. I mean, that's a terrible idea, but it's a pretty cool
thing. It's a terrible thing, but it's fun for a bad guy in a campaign.
Yeah, absolutely.
This my character is just I have this running in a campaign right now, and this is a byproduct of that.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so that's pretty much my character. Okay. I mean,
want to go over the stats or anything special about it?
I definitely can.
Yeah. What's its background? Did you pick a
background? The background was spy.
Okay.
So I can. The strength is 10, dexterity. I took standard array, right? Because that's how we're doing these builds. Mm-hmm. So I took 10 in strength, 15 in dex, 13 constitution, 8 intelligence, 14 in wisdom, 12 in charisma.
Nice.
And at this point, I've boosted the dex to 20. I've left the strength at 10. I've boosted the constitution to 14. I've boosted the wisdom up to 15. Everything else is this. Oh, I think I boosted the charisma to 14 as well. Where did I have wisdom at? Yeah, I did some boosting to get the dex and the charisma, wisdom. It's all kind of important to play into like the aspects that this character is going to tackle.
Yeah.
Where do I have my proficiencies? Okay, so I have deception, investigation, performance, acrobatics. I believe I also have athletics from my background to kind of cover some of the strength issues I think that will show up.
Right.
He doesn't need to be smart because he would just do exactly what Carver Terrace would do.
Right.
And
which is a smart thing.
The wisdom is there, though, to do things when the time calls for it. I think that's where the wisdom sort of plays in here. And the charisma to kind of go along with things and be able to deceive. Mm-hmm. It's a little on the low end for what Carver might be like.
Right.
So this
right.
is like I'm also picturing other Kenku might be being trained by 108 to be like degraded clones.
Okay. We're diluting it.
Yeah.
Okay,
so maybe because Carver wanted to do it, 108 wants to also make an army.
Oh gosh.
So that's a possibility here.
I like that idea. That's pretty cool.
And the stats would like the sort of inherent things about Carver that made him unique would be copied and then degradate over time because you can't get it perfect.
No, of course not.
So yeah, that's it. It's an assassin for hire. He has a network of thieves around that he takes jobs from. He's kind of waiting for that adventuring party to come along and pick him up. Mm-hmm. Maybe in whatever scenario this might be, like maybe the party falls Carver Terrace and finds these Kenku and is
instead,
like, you can come with us.
Right.
And maybe something will speak to 108. I don't really know at this point. I built a level 10 character.
Yeah.
So maybe if we scale it back to earlier in its life, it could be able to go with a party in this event. But basically he's his skills are a product of somebody else and his Kenku abilities.
Gotcha. I like it. It's really cool.
Cool.
108.
That's 108.
Awesome. That's pretty dope, dude. Thanks. All right. Let's take a short rest. And when we come back, we'll talk about the Arcane Trickster.
I love rests. Hey, folks. I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know the monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Selling a little
or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms, to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast. Hey everybody, be sure to check out Super Quest Saga,
a future fantasy 5th edition D&D actual play podcast homebrewed and dungeon mastered by yours truly, me, and Set in Space.
And I play in it, along with your special guest Jake and friend of the show, Josh Freeland.
You can find it on YouTube, iTunes, or anywhere else you can get your podcasts.
Super Quest Saga!
We've returned.
Indeed we have.
Let's talk about magic.
Let's talk a little bit about magic.
Spy magic.
Spy magic, yeah. Arcane trickster. So
the spy who tricked me.
Yes. So some rogues enhance their fine-honed skills of stealth and agility with magic, learning tricks of enchantment and illusion. These rogues include pickpockets and burglars, but also pranksters, mischief makers, and a significant number of adventurers. The character I built today is very serious and not a mischief maker at all.
Yeah, okay.
I went the other way with it.
Sure.
I went a very professional way with it.
That makes sense.
And
I mean, rogues are so very...
Exactly.
Like you said.
Yeah. So when you choose this archetype at third level, you gain the spellcasting feature.
Yes.
So you gain the ability to cast spells, see chapter 10 for the general rules of spellcasting, or chapter 11 for the wizard spell, or one of our episodes.
Right.
We cover those things.
And this isn't quite as unique as you might think at first because of like the fighter, the Eldritch fighter.
Yes.
But are there other classes besides the fighter and the rogue that kind of get magic like this later
the
on?
The fighter, the Eldritch Knight in the... Arcane Trickster, I think, are the only two third casters, at least that I can think of. I can't think of any
others. Yeah, I'm trying to rack my brain about it, and
they're
I can't.
Only two, yeah. So, cantrips, you learn three cantrips, Mage Hand, and two other cantrips of your choice from the wizard spell list. So, basically, this is like a wizard light. This is someone who's learned magic through their intelligence. So,
Generally
speaking, you're probably pumping intelligence at least a little bit.
I
leaned hard into it. I've seen builds that don't lean into it at all. But the idea here is you're using your savvy and your mind to cast spells.
If you think about how wizards study, you like major in evocation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like this would be like somebody majoring in rogue shit and minoring in magic.
Exactly, yeah. You gain spell slots. The Arcane Trickster spellcasting table shows how many spell slots you have. You essentially have like the one third the amount of a full caster.
Mm-hmm.
To cast these spells, you must extend the slot. We know how spellcasting works.
Less than a wizard, more than a warlock.
Yeah. And you have to choose spells from the enchantment or illusion spell list.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, the character builder let me pick different spells. So I put some on there just to have fun with as a caveat. Like, well, it would be cool if I could do this, but I technically can't.
Yeah, there's hiccups in the spellcasting sections of D&D Beyond that, like sometimes it lists my third level spells as fourth level spells.
Oh, so little hiccups.
There's some weird things in there. I'm sure it's hard to get right.
Yeah,
programming
sure.
wise.
Like, as I said before, intelligence is your spellcasting ability for your wizard spells. Since you learn your spells through dedicated study and memorization. And so your spell DC and your spell save are based off intelligence. So also at third level, you gain a feature called Mage Hand Leisure Domain. Starting at third level, when you cast Mage Hand, which is a cantrip you get no matter what.
It's a ghost hand. It can do 10 pounds of pressure. It can interact with things.
Yeah. You can make the spectral hand invisible, and you can perform the following additional tasks with it. You can stow one object the hand is holding in a container worn or carried by another creature. You can retrieve an object in a container worn or carried by another. You can pickpocket with it. That's what you can do with it.
Yeah, or stash something on somebody, which is a really cool feature. And it kind of like, why couldn't I do that before? But this is like more... Like, why couldn't I do that before, basically? Like,
basically, I think the idea here is that the wizard can make the hand. He's really good at the making of the hand.
Right.
He's
but the not manipulation so good at the making of the hand. Hand of
doing things.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can do stuff, but it's like...
It's very clunky.
You've practiced with your hand to make it like your hand.
Exactly. So you can use thief's tools to pick locks and disarm traps at range. You can perform one of these tests without being noticed by a creature. If you succeed on a dexterity sleight of hand check, contested by the creature's wisdom perception check... in addition, you can use the bonus action granted by your cunning action to control the hand.
Okay.
So you're just better at mage hand than any other spellcaster alive.
It is super duper fucking cool to be like good with mage hand like this.
It's true. At 9th level, you gain a feature called Magical Ambush. If you are hidden from a creature when you cast a spell on it, the creature has disadvantage on any saving throw it makes against the spell this turn. Very useful.
Nice.
At level 13, you gain Versatile Trickster. You gain the ability to distract targets with your mage hand. As a bonus action, on your turn, you can designate a creature within 5 feet of the spectral hand created by the spell. Doing so gives you advantage on attack rolls against that creature until the end of the turn. So a way of like working that mage hand into combat.
It's doing fucking like shadow puppets.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You can do whatever you want.
Hey,
yeah.
Over here.
Over here, yeah. And finally, at 17th level, you gain a feature called Spell Thief. You gain the ability to magically steal the knowledge of how to cast a spell from another spellcaster. This is fucking cool.
This is wizard rogue for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Immediately after a creature casts a spell that targets you or includes you in its area of effect, you can use your reaction to force the creature to make a saving throw with its spellcasting ability modifier. The DC equals your spell save DC. On a failed save, you negate the spell's effects against you, and you steal the knowledge of the spell if it is at least a first level end of a level that you can cast, which I think a third caster can only go up to like third or fourth level tops.
Probably, yeah.
By level 17. Where was I? For the next 8 hours, you know the spell and can cast it using your spell slots. The creature can't cast that spell until you've stolen it from their mind.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's good. So thieving.
The spellcaster can't cast it because they don't remember how. Once you use this feature, you can't use it again until you finish a long rest.
Wow.
So that's, you know, obviously the most fun and entertaining of their features is that last one, level 17.
Right.
Any questions about the Arcane Trickster? Any comments?
I think it's pretty cool. Like this, a high magic campaign with this character, you are the rogue of magic. Like
you will
come in hot and absolutely. You will steal cool shit.
Indeed you are. So I'm not big on the rogue. I'm not big on the Arcane Trickster either. So this was challenging for me, but I ended up building a character that I really, really liked. So her name is Vivenna Moonlighter. She is a level 8 rogue, human. I went with the very human with the extra feet.
Nice.
Background is criminal. That. Yeah. Real quick, her stats. Strength is an 8, so -1. Dexterity, 17. Constitution, 14. Intelligence, 16. So she's very smart. Wisdom, 10. Charisma, 10. I had her trained in acrobatics, arcana, deception, history, investigation, sleight of hand, and stealth. So again, she's really good at thieving. She's very, very intelligent.
Cool.
And before we get any more of her like mechanical features, let's talk a little bit about her. So Vivenna is a woman in her mid-20s. She has chin-length brown hair and dark eyes. She is lithe, quick, and quiet. By day, she's dressed in... Oh, God. My handwriting is fucking horrifying.
Jeez.
She's dressed in clothes of fine material and tasteful design. By night, she dons a cloak of shadow gifted to her by her mentor. She stalks the rooftop silently, scouting or performing her jobs with expert precision. She wields two knives, but considers a night she is forced to use them as a sloppy failure. Cunning, stealth, and preparation are her true weapons.
Selena Kyle, let's go.
She's very loosely based off of a Brandon Sanderson character named Vin from Mistborn.
Okay.
I think people who continue to hear me describe her will see.
Yeah, so far you're hitting Catwoman notes for me.
For sure. So Vivenna grew up a street urchin in the major port city of Warhillis. The orphanage in the Ratway slums kept her fed, but just barely. And at an early age, she and the others... I need to start typing these out because...
You can do that.
And my handwriting is so fucking bad. And I wrote this so long ago, like I'm
flying
blind.
You have to read it now, yeah.
So at an early age, she and the other children of the slums mastered the craft of begging and pickpocketing. Those who did well... No, those who did not often did not live beyond childhood. Vivenna had a keen mind and sharp eye, and by 12 years old was the leader of a thieving crew. Under her planning, the crew grew successful, and with success grew bold. Feeling it was time to graduate from petty street crime, they set to plan a burglary. An aristocrat's house was their target, but the crew was out of their depth. Vivenna triggered a magical trap which left her paralyzed.
Uh-oh.
Her crew abandoned her, and she was left at the mercy of the noble woman whose trap she had triggered. But the owner of the manor was no noble woman, but a retired world-class thief who was spending her final days in luxury and comfort.
Ba, ba, ba.
Though initially angered, the old woman was impressed by the girl's ability to make it so close to her vaults without training and so young. Moved by empathy, Vivenna was taken under the wings of and trained by the world-class thief.
That's cool. Yeah. Okay. So she starts a gang,
mm-hmm.
and then the gang goes to do their first big heist.
Yeah, because they're so good at what they've been doing.
And they pick the wrong fucking house.
Oh, yeah. And honestly, any house was the wrong house. They were out of their depth no matter what, but they were really out of their depth.
They didn't do their research. No. So now she is at the mercy of this character who happens to be a world-class thief.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know what? You did good, kid.
Yeah.
You need work, though.
Yeah,
and now
exactly.
It's like
that's exactly
a training
right.
montage.
So that was when she was a kid.
So here at the end, you're describing her as like very intelligent and studied and dressed.
Exactly.
There you go.
Vivenna Moonlighter is a professional embezzler, larcenist, and pilferer for hire. She's the very best at what she does, and what she does is acquire rare and unique items, sensitive documents, and prized valuables. No questions asked, and at an extremely lucrative price.
Okay.
Though not traditionally educated, Vivenna is both refined and academic. She is no common thief or bandit and has an eye for artifacts of both historic or arcane value. Due to her extremely humble beginnings, she goes to extreme lengths to appear as a sophisticated woman of class. Those who have met her would describe her as elegant and genteel, albeit distant and cold. The few close enough to know her know that beneath her cold veneer is a woman of passion and confidence, but also of pain and doubt. Her knowledge and skill with the arcane enhance her ability to detect and counteract magical traps and barriers. Her spells take her impressive physical thieving and stealth abilities to a superhuman level, and her keen mind allows her to plan out heists with expert detail. So I've written down her adventurer motivation is she's bored with the aristocratic and political subterfuge. She's lost the passion for her craft. Who is she really? She spent so much of her life building up this persona, she doesn't know who she really is anymore.
That's cool. I need to go on an adventure.
Exactly.
Yeah. So. I need to go on a self-fulfilling find yourself journey.
Indeed.
And I was going to ask, is this character, how do you deal with like her wealth? And if she's commissioning stuff at high lucrative prices, she's going to have some background money.
Yeah.
Is she willing to leave that behind?
Yes.
Leave it in a trust?
I think the idea here is she has all this stuff and she's like, none of this makes me happy.
Yeah.
And she just leaves it behind. Maybe she leaves it to someone. You know, maybe there's a caretaker, maybe not. Maybe she just drops and runs, but she leaves.
I'm going to roll with those guys. And it's like a fucking barbarian.
That's if she's an adventurer. If she's just an NPC, like, she's just doing it up in the city.
This is cool.
Yeah, she's like a high level NPC. So
I like the idea of like, I'm going to go find happiness through killing goblins or whatever. Like, that's kind of cool.
Sure, yeah.
Like, we're in this fantastical world where
it's
like
more
that's
like
acceptable somewhere.
She's going to go places. She's going to meet people. She's just going to try and find who she is.
Right.
Maybe she'll kill goblins. That's really neither here nor there for her.
Right. Maybe she'll loot a dragon. Who knows?
Maybe that. Yeah. But, you know, she's going to get all the features that we talked about, you know, the evasion, the mage hand, leisure domain, the sneak attack, all that stuff. But I ended up taking two feats to kind of like unique her out a bit. And one of the things was I wanted to really lean a little bit more into the spellcasting. So I had her take Ritual Caster and chose Wizard for the Ritual Casting class.
Nice.
So basically she gained a few first level ritual spells, which I think the ones I ended up choosing. Let me see here.
So severely underrated by me is Ritual Casting. So that's like lately I've been, now I play a wizard. So mm-hmm. I kind of know the benefits of Ritual Casting.
Yeah,
it's really good.
It's very nice. So she took Identify so she can identify.
Nice. Great ritual spell.
Yeah.
You need an hour, right?
Yeah. You need an hour, but she got to identify things of great value.
Exactly.
That's what she did. She's an appraiser.
Mm-hmm.
Detect magic, which again, for the same reason of detecting dope ass shit. And the comprehend languages, I just thought was a smart way for her to like read inscriptions or find something historically.
That's a great ritual spell. Yeah,
yeah.
That's a good list.
Yeah. So as for other spells, I chose for her Mage Hand, Minor Illusion, and Light. You know, all those are going to help her infiltrate.
Yeah, no dark vision. Dumb human.
Disguise Self, Silent Image, and then the three ritual spells I chose. Now, It also let me shoot spells that she shouldn't be able to do. But I thought, man, if she could do these, it'd be so fucking handy.
Okay.
And the spells that I picked were jump and featherfall.
Oh yeah, we're talking about
like infiltrating into buildings. Like it's a shame the Arcane Trickster can't pick those.
Featherfall is invaluable, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe the app isn't, maybe D&D Beyond isn't wrong. Maybe they're just giving you the freedom because they encourage you to, especially with spellcasting, you can study and learn. It says
in the player's handbook, you can only learn spells of enchantment and illusion. Like that sounds,
but it also says up at the front of the player's handbook is like, do what the fuck you want.
Exactly.
If it makes sense.
Like if I was a dungeon master, I would allow things like this.
Yeah.
But I understand
I'd give you extra gold at start.
Sure. But I also understand if you're a DM,
And you say no.
You don't want to do that. That's fine.
It's right. This is a conversation to go out to have at your table if you want to do things like this.
Right.
But that is great flavor. Also, why not pick two other spells and maybe if you are this character and you want to talk about your DM to your DM about it, like there's scroll magic and stuff. Maybe you can just like activate or have a magic item that will implement kinds of things.
Well, it was like with Machawi, I had his staff do the thing I wanted.
Yeah. Like the magic boots could really be your solve all. If you want to play by the book, homebrew magic item.
Yeah. There we go. And then lastly, the last thing that I'm going to talk about is I chose the feat Dungeon Delver. So you have an advantage on perception and investigation checks made to detect the presence of secret doors and on saving throws made to avoid or resist traps. You have resistance to the damage dealt by traps, and traveling at a fast pace doesn't impose the normal -5 penalty to your passive wisdom score. So again, she's just really good at infiltrating like heist security centers because that's what she does. She's a heist master.
Yeah.
She's going to get into the fucking president's like secret chamber, find the document that someone needs to get a hold of to do a forgery for and get it to him.
She's going
to
steal the Declaration of Independence.
Exactly. That's exactly right. She's Vivenna Moonlighter.
This is fucking Nick Cage's daughter from the National Treasure Universe.
I've never seen those movies, so I have no idea about those movies.
They steal the Declaration
of Independence. I know that part.
There's a bunch of bullshit behind Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, I heard about that too. anything else about... Spoilers for National Treasure.
Yes, also on the topic of Nicolas Cage, we know about Color Out of Space.
Yeah.
We know about it.
Yeah.
Thank you, though.
Yeah, sure. Let's get ready for a long rest.
Did you know that Color Out of Space is a really cool Nick Cage movie?
Apparently. I'll have to check it out.
We know about it.
I'm going to be very judgmental because I love that story and I'm sure it was ruined, but maybe it wasn't. So we'll find out.
Nick Cage is doing it right with these B movies. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. All right. Let's
go. Welcome to the long rest, everybody. Check these slippies out. They got fucking knives in them. That was the sound of my assassin slippies.
That's true.
Listen to this. Can you hear that? Nope.
Nope.
Nope. Can't hear them. They're silent on contact with the ground. Absolutely.
Deadly and silent slippies.
Deadly silent slippies. This slippy's dagger's coated in poison.
Mm-hmm.
This one can cast a mage hand that just gives you the fucking finger.
Yeah, there we go.
Gives me advantage on my kick attack.
All right. So we still got that contest going?
We still got that contest going.
And when does it end? What, September 15th?
When does it end? September 15th-ish.
And what are we giving away?
We're giving away the Icewind Dale book.
Rhyme
of the Frost Maiden, but not just the adventure module, William. Yeah. We're giving away the specific D&D licensed dice set that comes with it. Comes with 3d6, invaluable to have extra d6 at the table, and d4s. I don't think it comes with extra d4s. And we're giving away some miniatures that are also licensed by Wizards of the Coast or whoever makes those.
Yeah.
It's
a Rhyme of the Frost Maiden like deluxe bundle.
Super deluxe bundle.
Yeah.
We're going to ship it straight to you if you win. Mm-hmm. And how do you win, William?
By sharing the show. If you share the show on social media and send us proof that you did so, we'll enter you into the contest. If you do it on Twitter, just do it and with the hashtag DungeonCast, and I'll pick that up.
You can find Will on Twitter at the DungeonCast.
Indeed. Yeah,
share a link to any of our shows, our page on iTunes, our SoundCloud,
or even SuperQuest Saga if you want to share that show too.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. Share some Dungeon Cast produced stuff and we're cool with that. Recommend it to somebody, your followers. I am going to be on Instagram. You can find me at the Dungeon Cast there and you can find the post associated with the Icewind Dale giveaway and follow the instructions on there. I'm pretty sure it's going to be tag somebody in a comment and you get an entry. So if you leave an additional comment with another tag, that counts as an entry. We're trying to get the word out about the show like we do with our giveaways. And this time we want to give you a bunch of Icewind Dale stuff. Supposedly it's pretty cool. I've been seeing a lot of people talk about it and pretty excited about this one.
Oh yeah. Yeah. This one's going to be cool. And I think it's like horror themed. So it's like this ice horror kind of feel.
The cover,
just in time for Halloween.
The cover has a fucking owl. Halloween. The cover has a fucking owl on it.
A spooky owl.
A spooky owl and like a dude cut like that just got hit by a fucking mini avalanche or something like that. I don't know. It probably has something to do with like a spooky snow owl.
I am hoping for some cool backgrounds and cool monsters and cool treasures. I will be checking out the module for that. I don't really run modules, but I do like looking through for goodies for the adventures that I do run.
There are goodies in there. Yeah. I've been reading a lot of Out of the Abyss lately, Will.
Yeah, a lot of cool stuff in there.
A lot of cool stuff in there.
So is that it? Is that all we got?
A lot of cool stuff in there.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
Will, it's episode
what cool stuff have you been finding?
We're at the end of episode 199.
This is true. You know what number's next?
200.
It's true.
Two.
Uh-huh.
That's like double 100.
Twice.
That's like 102 times.
It's so true.
Ah.
Well, I guess we'll find out what we're doing for that episode.
Everybody fucking knows.
In a week. Do they?
You probably
do. Because I don't really. Oh, I do know.
The people... The people that listen to the show
have an idea
like that are like they pick up our light canon that we have in the show.
Yeah.
Know what's about to fucking happen.
Yeah, it's true.
You guys know what's about to happen, right?
So get ready for that next week.
We're having a very special episode 200. It's going to be ad free. And we left it that way on purpose because we want to do a bunch of cool shit for episode 200. You don't want to miss this one. It's coming out next week. Mm-hmm. We're going to have lots of cool stuff going on in it. And obviously, we're going to be pumping this giveaway until September 15th.
Yeah.
So be sure to share these shows. These recent episodes would be cool too. I mean, episode 200 is going to be a big one. It's going to be popping off. People are going to be talking about it. Now's the time to talk about the Dungeon Cast and get people on there. You can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/dungeoncast, where you can hear episodes early. If you want to hear, basically we record roughly once every 2 to 3 weeks. We get those episodes done and edited up, and you can listen to them in the like basically those number of weeks early. Mm-hmm. So there might be at the time you join, there might be one episode you haven't heard, but a week later, there's going to be three episodes that are fresh, hot out the kitchen that you have not heard yet. That's at the $5 tier, our lowest tier. So there's a ton of other stuff in that tier that you get bonus also, like being able to read Will's show notes that he uses to tell you guys about this cool ass lore and things like that. We offer bonus content in terms of actual play content. So if you listen to Super Quest Saga and you like that stuff, we have some comedy games in there, some really cool one-shot adventures that Will puts together and DMs for us. And then there's stuff that I've DM'd in there as well, probably at the higher tiers is where you can hear me DM. But all this stuff is really cool. We work really, really hard on our Patreon content, and we would love to share that with you guys. We've tightened things up there, so it's pretty easy to use at this point, really simple to get in there and get all your bonus content and do what you got to do. There's also exclusive merch. So people that have been at the gold tier, you guys are going to see exclusive merch get changed out for the next year's item or 2021 item that we're going to be offering. We switched that out at the end of October, November.
Yeah, it's about October every year.
So that we're working on that now, and that's to come. We also have exclusive merch at the $10 tier. If you guys are getting in there, we're giving away our podcast logo as a sticker. Mm-hmm. So if you're already in Patreon, I think the way we're giving away the merch through Patreon, so you need to hit the payment a couple times and then they ship you an item, I believe.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, you have lots of bonus content to occupy you. And if you're looking for more Dungeon Cast, check out Super Quest Saga or go to Patreon if you need even more. Super Quest Saga is free. It's on our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
It's its own separate podcast because we don't want to clog this feed with a live game.
Yeah, no,
but you can find it on our YouTube channel. Please check that out. It's a really great show that's set in space that Will DMs, sci-fi adventure set with like these classic D&D mechanics. And I know a lot of people recommend us other table systems, but we don't see the need to change anything.
No, nope.
Everything you can do anything with D&D and we're doing it over there. Yeah. You want to get into some sci-fi actual play with some really great characters with really great chemistry at the table. You can do it. Super Quest Saga. Check that out. Tell tell some friends about the show. Win an Icewind Dale hot bundle pack. Don't touch it right away. Make sure you blow on it. I know it's called Icewind Dale, but it's hot as fuck, especially this giveaway. Tell people about the Dungeon Cast. Tell people about the show. Leave us an iTunes review. Leave us a comment, a subscribe, a like on YouTube if that's what you're doing right now. You got anything else, Will?
No, I think you covered it.
I think the only other thing we want to say is thank you guys so much for listening to the show. We really Indeed. Appreciate it. Let's call it a game.
Let's call it a game. We'll talk to you guys later.
The Dungeon Cast.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times best-selling author of supernatural horror, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the time pilot?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you. Find me.
To save yourself.
Of course. What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.